Welcome to Beauty as a Birthright, a podcast where we decode the evolving concept of beauty from a multidimensional lens. In this space, we embark on a journey with engaging guests from all walks of life to figure out if beauty is a birthright, then what's our legacy? So let's get started.
Welcome, everyone. We just got off with our last guest, Jennifer Norman, who's a Korean-American adoptee. It was so fun to talk to her. She came with awesome energy. She's a founder and chief human officer of the human beauty movement. She also is involved in a book series. She's one of those incredible mothers who learns a lot actually from her own son. So anyway, if you haven't listened to that, please go back and listen. It will really put a big smile on your face and inspire you in very deep ways. Yeah. Don't you agree with all of that, Tamsin?
Yeah, she's incredible. I mean, just the fact that she does all these projects and she's clearly working from like her purpose, you know?
Yep.
And so to me, like, even though these are like, you know, she's doing a children's book series, she was like creating a space in the beauty wellness, but also creating like a social online community. Like they might seem fragmented to a lot of people, but to me, it totally makes sense, like how they're all connected.
Mm-hmm. And they were all born from this inspiration that came out of being the mother of her son and all the things that he has taught her throughout their journey together.
Yeah. And do you get that as a mom? You're like, do you, cause like her son has a, mitochondria, disorder. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so Kyle, her son, is in a wheelchair and, but your son is not, and so I'm curious to know, like, was that when she was talking about how much like her son is such a huge teacher for her?
Mm-hmm.
Did that resonate with you?
Yes. And, but it made me feel, cause I think it's not until we go through, or many times for people, it's not until they go through something like very trying and difficult that they then look inward and make a big shift. And so for many of us who don't have such a big challenge like that, we don't necessarily have that opportunity and we can miss it. And it made me feel like me personally, I do take a lot of my son for granted because he is so independent and it doesn't require so much of my attention. So I'm not giving myself those opportunities to stop, reflect, and be more present with him and think of ways in which I can learn from him. Mm-hmm. So it really, moving forward, I mean, my intention, but we'll see how things go. But my intention is to just be slower with him and be more appreciative with him and observe him more instead of trying to parent him. And then really thinking like, wow, what am I learning from him through observation? And I'm sure if I really thought about it now, I could come up with things, but I want to be able to like be really immersed in those lessons the way that Jen is or and has been because of how her story with Kyle has played out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. What about with your nephews?
No, I don't learn anything from them. I'm just kidding. No, I mean, they're awesome. Like I learned so much from them, but I also think because they're not my kids, I can, when I do spend time with them, it's just like, it's just fun time, you know, and I don't have the responsibility to like, I'm not their parents. So I don't have the parental responsibility. So I can enjoy my time with them, observe them and like have them teach me. They teach me things like constantly. They're very different from one another. Like my older nephew, Torin, he's hilarious. Like people think he's my kid because we look alike, we smile the same way, and I know we have the spiritual connection. Like I know I've met him in my past life, like even before he was born, like during my meditation practice, before I even knew my sister-in-law was pregnant, he just kept popping up in my meditation practice, like his face. It got to a point where I'm like, bro, stop. Like get out of here. Okay. Like I'll see you soon, but like, I need to focus, you know? And we look very much alike. And so He's just rambunctious. He's super smart. He's very like, I don't know what the word is. He's very Capricorn-like. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like,
and he's a rat, right?
No, he's a rooster.
Oh,
very much a rooster. Super cocky, super confident. But you know what? Like, he's got it all. So it's like, I can't even get mad at you. Like, yeah. Like, you know, he told me like recently, I was like, aren't you going to preschool today? He's like, no. He's like, I know everything, so I don't have to go. I'm like, yeah, okay. That makes sense. You know, like,
oh, I love that. Oh, then what about the younger one?
The younger one, Archie, he's so sweet and kind, and like, he's the rat, and just so lovable, but really stubborn and really weird. Like, I think Jamie is a rat. He was on a previous episode, and Jamie's the one who he was like, yeah, rats are really weird. And I'm like, yeah, like, but like the good kind of weird for me. I don't understand it, but I'm into it. and you know, and they fight a lot. Like, I'm not the younger one, like, just loves his older brother. Archie loves Torin, follows him, does everything. And Torin is not into it. He's just like constantly beating him up, and like, mm-hmm. he doesn't even talk to him. He doesn't even like acknowledge his existence. And I'm like, why don't you talk to Archie? He's like, he's a baby. He doesn't know how to talk. But Archie's vocabulary, he talks like, you can have full on conversations with this kid.
I love that the older one said that.
Yeah. And I'm like, what are you talking about? It's like, I literally had conversations with him. So it's interesting to see their dynamic together. And like, I love households with brothers. I think like a lot of my guy friends they had brothers like close mm-hmm. in age. And like mm-hmm. a lot of my partners they came from families that with brothers. And so, they teach me a lot, but I now that they're getting older, I find myself getting more concerned and worried about like how society is going to teach them, like, how society is going to treat them.
Mm-hmm. Because of their ethnicity, their appearance,
anything. I feel guys, I feel like dudes, like, you know, it's kind of hard for them. Like, it's hard for us. It's definitely hard for us. It's much harder for us. Let's get that straight, you know, but I think what men lack is this, they can't like really, they don't have the space to really talk about their feelings or talk about what they're going through. And I think there's a lot of pressure now of how they are supposed to look, you know, with social media and everything. And I think they're now getting the pressures of, you know, how to take care of themselves, look. And, I read this in like scientific journals, like how the, eating disorders are more common now in little boys and how they're more concerned with their appearance. And then ever before. And I still don't think men have this place where they can talk about these things with other men. And obviously it's reflected into their other relationship. So, you know, who knows? Like, it could be anything. Like, you know, maybe you're too short. Maybe you're a little chunky. Like, maybe you lose your hair later. Like, how are you going to deal with all these things? And whereas women, we can talk about these like beauty issues, but men, I'm so curious to know, like, do men talk about this? Do they even like think about these things? How do they handle this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those are.
You should have your husband on for a podcast. Ask these questions to David. He's too cool. God.
He's definitely a beauty. He is, he likes how he looks. Okay. So Jen talked about aging. And that's something too that you and I are both interested in, but in particular, you've brought up, you know, more as it relates to our podcast. What did you take away from what she shared? And then where are you personally with this part of your beauty story?
I mean, I get when she was saying how she had to dress older or look older, because I think I've done that. And I think in the last couple of years, I was like, man, I'm done doing this. I mean, some of it resonated and some of it didn't, but a funny thing happened like this weekend, right? I went out and I saw these group of kids, like, I guess early 20s. They were mainly like three girls, maybe two guys. And they were all wearing like sashes. And, you know, like kind of like when you have a bachelorette party or something, you wear that sash. But I think it was their birthday. I don't know. Like they were all wearing sashes.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
or graduation, I think, because it's like grad season.
Oh, yeah. Maybe. I think they looked, maybe. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Possibly. But the two girls, they were wearing this like super tight, skimpy, short dresses and massive heels, right? And you would think, and they were gorgeous. I mean, like, you know, however, 17, 21 year old, everyone's freaking gorgeous when you're that age, like blonde, tall, super skinny, like hot. But they were walking around and they looked so uncomfortable. And to me, I was like, whoa, you are like physically in society's standards. You are at your prime right now and you're not feeling it. And then it made me wonder, like when I was their age and I was dressing, like I was hoeing around in like in the skimpiest things. And I just thought it was hot shit. And like, then it clicked on me. I was like, oh my God, it's like a vibe. Like you can look a certain way according to what society says is beautiful and dress a certain way, have the body for it. But if right. you don't have that vibe, that essence, or what we call maybe Shen or Qi or whatever, mm-hmm. then it's nothing. It's like, it's strange. Yeah. It's awkward. Right.
Yes.
And then you can have somebody who society says isn't considered beautiful, but their vibe is so strong. And you're like, wow, this is amazing. And it just hit me. And that day I went out and I was feeling so cute about myself. And I could feel the energy from other people. Like they noticed mm-hmm, it in me. Mm-hmm. It was like emanating. And I could feel myself giving it off to the world. And so I'm much older than them, much bigger than them. And I'm more covered, right? Because it was cold that day. and I was like, whoa, it really clicked to me. I'm like, and then to me, that was like, oh, this is like the awesome thing about aging. Because when you're young, you don't have that realization. You right. think you're wise when you're young. And there is some wisdom with youth, for sure. But when you get older, it's a different type of wisdom. And now I'm like getting it. It's like, oh, I mean, mm-hmm. I've always said it, like, I never want to go back to my 20s. I already did that. That was fun, but I don't want to go back to it. And I really embrace aging somehow. Like even a little example is like, you know, I had this friend where I was like, man, I'm too old to do this shit. And she's like, don't say that. Age is just a number. And I'm like, bitch, no, like, I don't want to do this.
Right.
Like,
right.
like just let me get old, please. Like, where are you in your aging? Like, I know we have different issues, but.
Yeah, we do. Oh, so something. And so speaking of like your story and then. So I guess it was last week, Thursday after work, I met up with a girlfriend at the beach and we're both 35. I'll be 36 soon. And then, our neighbor's son was at the beach and he just finished his freshman year of college. And he was just talking. We were getting caught up. I mean, he was 3 when I left the house at 18. And so we just never really had like an opportunity to chat. Anyway, he asked for my friend's number and
wait, he did. Okay. Well, hold up. Oh my God. I'm loving this.
Yeah.
She's 35. Mm-hmm. They don't know each other.
No.
And he, yes.
Yeah. So we're talking, we're catching up about family stuff and like neighborhood things. And then he actually leaves and then we walk back up the beach and then he's there at his home that he grew up in. And then he's like, hey, and then, he's like, I think you're cute. Can I get your number to my girlfriend?
He just straight up asked her in front of you.
Yep.
That's mm-hmm. ballsy.
Yep. And then she's like, how old do you think we are? And he's like, I don't know, like 24 and 20. He's like, I don't know, maybe like 28. And that was just adorable. And of course, it just like made us feel awesome that like that we he this like teen late teen thought that we were in our mid to late 20s. We just like loved that whole thing. So anyway, that was just a really cool moment. And it made me feel, I mean, he obviously didn't ask for my number. He knows I'm married. He plays basketball with my son, but he knew that I was the same age as my friend. And he still asked for her number and he still thought that we were in our 20s. So that was just like, it was so innocent. It was so fun. And it just like kind of invigorated.
Like, did she give him her number?
Yes.
Yes. Get
it. I'm like, what's the new legal age of everything? So, yeah, that was just like something really fun. And I didn't think I would get that much joy out of something so small. And like I said, it wasn't me, but I just felt like in association with that experience. And, yeah. So which is just to say that as much as I can believe that I'm a little bit more like less concerned about the process, I still, though, in those moments, take a lot of pleasure in people finding me youthful and like by proxy desirable.
So man, I have the opposite. Like,
yeah,
when that happens to me, I'm just like, ugh. I should find more joy when younger dudes hit on me. But my first thing is like, do you have a dad? I feel like your dad is more my dating range.
That's that I'm dying.
What I do like about I've got to stop being mean to boys. But what I do admire younger boys is they're much more ballsy and gutsy about talking to you than men my yeah. age. And that I find so endearing. But because I look young, I always get hit on by much younger guys. And when I look at them, I'm like, you're a baby. Like I can see you look like you're a child. What do you do? Like, where are your parents? How you like, it's late now, you know, it's like 9 o'clock. Oh my God. Yeah. But I can see, you know, like I can see how it is like an awesome feeling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what are, I mean, we'll have a, you know, few more minutes here, but what else? Jennifer shared so much with us. Mm-hmm. She has gone through so many things in her life and she's really come out the other end and made light of every experience and carried all these lessons to a place where what she said I really loved was she was talking about how to be completely whole as yourself is what then you have enough energy to give, because when you give without being coming from that place, you burn out. You can probably get resentful. You just don't have the resources to be who you want to be.
Yeah.
I loved hearing that, especially in the field that we're in and the way in which we have to help others.
How do you navigate that? That's what I was wondering. Cause you're a mom and a wife mm-hmm. and you run businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you prioritize yourself?
Yeah. I don't think I'm very good at it yet. I think I'm still, when she talked about being in survival mode and how that was just not sustainable. And she felt like she reflected on that and was like, oh, I have to get out of that. Cause I'm, you know, burning through on both ends. That really resonated with me. Like, I'm like, that's where I am in my process right now with a 7-year-old and all the other responsibilities. I'm still in that mode. So I think I really like to hear how she shared her process and evolution through that. Because I'm like, that is what is going to be next for me so I can keep going.
Yeah. I think it's hard. Like, I mean, I think that's one of the reasons why I never wanted to be a mom, because it's so easy for me to be maternal. Mm-hmm. And I know that that's not my path in my life now, in this life. Right. And I don't want to do that, but that's my go-to. That's like my default.
Right.
Like it's so easy for me to be maternal. And so yeah. it's, and I see that with my mom, I see all that with patients who are mothers, like how hard it is to put yourself a priority, like put yourself first. Mm-hmm. I think being a mom is like the hardest job ever.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, but Tamsin, I mean, you kind of just said it right now about your maternal instincts. And I've worked with you on several projects with the podcast, with some of our workshops, and you do have this tendency to overwork, take on the bulk of the load, feel like other people's busyness is more important than your busyness. Mm-hmm. And you, both you and I have had to work through that together as a team. But where are you personally with it without the feedback of me or whoever constantly being like, well, wait, are you still doing too much? Are you going to be okay? I'm okay. So, you know, like what's going on with that for you?
Yeah, I hate it. I hate that. I like, it's very hard for me to accept that I have this natural maternal like instinct. Right. And I think working with you has really helped me a lot because you were the first person that I really worked with where you straight up just, to me, when I go into that default, it's like automatic pilot. I don't even think that I'm doing it. So as I'm doing it, it's just like, it's not, you know, it's not something that I think about. And so for you to ask me to like stop and again, almost like guide me into like what I'm actually doing. Like you've literally asked me like, okay, write all the tasks that you're doing and the time it takes. You know, mm-hmm. I need somebody to tell me that, to like cut the autopilot and then like set up a plan. It's like, okay, now we're going to talk about all of our tasks and then see where we can rearrange things. And that was a huge moment for me. And I think I'm going to definitely use that in hopefully in other partnerships, relationships, but it's really hard for me to do that. And I think, yeah, it's so hard because it's like every relationship, like my family relationship, like a romantic relationship, friendship, like it's like I have to learn how to do that in all of these relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Because I get so burnt out.
Yeah.
And like that's also the reason why I don't have a lot of friends, because it's like I don't have the energy to cultivate these friendships. I don't have the energy for it.
Mm-hmm. But what about this like fundamental belief that you have and are working through, that like other people's lives, responsibilities, busyness somehow is more important than yours?
Yeah. I think that was the other thing. Like when you, this podcast idea really came from you. You're like, hey, do you want to do a podcast? And at first I was hesitant for other reasons too. But I think I've been much more conscious about doing partnerships and collaborations with people that I feel like I have something to offer as well. So when you asked me, I was like, oh yeah, totally. But then I had to kind of take a step back. I'm like, am I really doing this because I really want to do this with Paige? Or am I doing this because I think Paige is like an incredible person? Like she does all this dope stuff and she's amazing. I have nothing to offer. I'm just going to hold on to her and hope that she takes me along for the ride.
That's exactly what I was saying to myself.
And I do that with business partnerships. And my last business partner, it ended up terrible. And it was like an awakening because it was literally like my romantic relationship played out again in a different relationship, in a business relationship, but the same theme where I felt like I wasn't worth it enough, that I thought they were much better. And I'm just holding on for life that they take me along. And so it took me months to get back to you and be like, yeah, I want to do this, because it took me that many months to figure out like, can I offer something to this project? Can I offer something to her? Like, am I worth it? And to just take that pause with different relationships, like I'm doing that with my friendships now and trying to figure out, I'm not in a romantic relationship, but like, when I do get into that, that has to be a priority. I got to figure that out because I can't go into a relation, another relationship mm-hmm. thinking that I don't have anything to offer.
Yeah.
But right. it's hard because, you know, like you're married to David Young. So, you know, when it's like, when you meet someone, because we're similar, right? I bet we don't get impressed by a lot of people.
yeah.
so when I do get impressed, it's like, they're the bomb. And so, mm-hmm. And like you, I was thinking about the last episode we did, like you, I like in a relationship to kind of, I don't know how else to say this. I don't want to say like they're better than me, but like maybe somebody where I think where, yeah, maybe not in the world, but where I personally think like, oh, you're so incredible. That's mm-hmm. a lot of pressure off of me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. We're going to like keep putting that energy out there for you.
What energy? And like,
this like rabbit year next year. What's coming in?
Just my career.
yeah, I don't know. Okay, well, Tamsin, always so fun. And yeah. I hope other people think we're as interesting as we think one another.
Yay.
Yeah. All right. Well, have a good rest of your day.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Okay, bye.
Well, that's it for today. If you like this episode, please give us a 5-star rating, subscribe, and share it with your friends. You can follow us on Instagram at @beautyasabirthright and say hello. If you're interested in learning more about Taoist face reading, head over to elementalarchetypes.com and follow Dr. Tamsin on Instagram at @elementalarchetypes. If you like to explore beauty through your own hands, you can visit youngface.com. You may also explore Paige's Instagram at yang.face for tutorials, Chinese medicine theory, and candid thoughts on cultural appreciation.